That school bell tells you it's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. You may want to get your Bibles and turn to John 17. We're looking at Jesus' prayer, and in that prayer, he prayed for unity, that they all may be one. And we're going to look at that by looking at Elam's notes on that prayer in just a few moments. I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're studying old Sunday school lessons, this one written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of February the 15th, 1925. It's in John 17 where Jesus prayed that they all may be one. The unity for which Jesus prayed is, as he expressed it, "Even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, even as we are." That's John 17, verse 11. "Even as we are one," John 17, 22. How are Christ and God one? Just so much must Christ's disciples be one. This is not one in opinion, or one in some gigantic human religious organization. Any effort of any human religious society or organization to force itself upon the disciples of Christ destroys their unity and peace. All religious people on earth might be unified in one huge organization and not be in Christ at all. On the other hand, they cannot be one in Christ out of his body, the church. The unity which comes through the acceptance of the truth and obedience to God is the unity for which Christ prayed. Obedience to God adds people to his church. Acts 2:41, Acts 2:47, 1 Corinthians 12:13. And it makes them his children and citizens of Christ's kingdom. Matthew 12:50, John 3:3-8. People cannot enter Christ's kingdom or God's church without obedience to God. Hebrews 5:7-9. And they cannot obey God and remain out of his church. There is perfect unity between God and Christ. For this reason, Jesus came to the earth, not to do his own will, but the will of God, not to please himself, but to please God in all things. Had Jesus at any time failed to obey or please God, he would have broken the perfect unity between him and the Father. We cannot conceive of God and Jesus differing and having advanced different opinions. Who can conceive of God and Jesus being heads of different religious organizations and yet one? God is the head of Christ, 1 Corinthians 11:3, and Christ is the head of the church, Ephesians 1:22-23. Disciples of Christ can love one another and remain one in Christ only in so far as the Word of God abides in them and they continue to keep his commandments. Paul sums up the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace in Ephesians chapter 4. He writes, beginning in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith ye were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. To teach and impress the unity for which Jesus prayed is death to all religious bodies except the one body of which he is the head. That the world may believe that thou didst send me, Jesus prayed. The salvation of the world depends upon believing that God sent Jesus, that he is the Messiah and Savior. And the faith of the world in this fact depends, at least in part, upon the unity of Christ's disciples. Divisions, conflicting doctrines and practices confuse people and retard the progress of the church. Now, glory is of Christ. Not only is denominationalism wrong, but all bitterness, contention, strife, factions, and open ruptures in the body of Christ, his church, are wrong and dishonoring to Christ. They are a great shame and mighty hindrances to the progress of the gospel. All strife and division are carnal and sinful. Hear Paul in his first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfected together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been signified unto me concerning you, my brethren, by them that are of the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I mean, that each one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized into the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, save Crispus and Gaius, lest any man should say that you were baptized into my name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made void. Hear Paul again in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not meat, for you are not able to bear it. Nay, not even now are ye able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you jealousy and strife, are you not carnal? And do you not walk after the manner of men? For when one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not men? This is what springs from fleshly passions, jealousy, envy, preferment among others, to have the chief seats, to be greater than others, and etc. The glory which God gave to Jesus and which he has given to his disciples is that they may all be one as he and God are one. This would be glorious. And so to share Christ's glory in heaven. That's the subtitle to the last part of this lesson. Jesus prays that after his disciples have done their work on earth as he have done, that they may be with him and may share his glory which he had with God. Entering into this glory depends upon accomplishing the work God has given one to do on earth. In this way, will the love wherewith God loves Jesus be bestowed upon all his disciples. Jesus prays that God may love them even as he loves Jesus. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and such we are, 1 John 3 and verse 1. In all temptations and sufferings, we should remember Jesus' prayer for us and resist evil and bear persecutions patiently. Christ not only prayed on earth for his disciples, but still prays for them now in heaven. All disciples of Christ should follow his examples and work and pray for the unity and peace of all. If all disciples of Christ in all the world would spend a day or a week or a month united in prayer to God for the harmony, unity, and love of his children, then all causes of strife and division contrary to the teachings of the New Testament would be removed. Now that's the end of Elam's notes and lessons on John 17. And now we're going to turn to another prayer of Jesus. This is found in Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 42. And now we're looking at Jesus in Gethsemane. These are notes that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of February the 15th, 1925. Let me begin reading from the book of Mark. Mark chapter 14 at verse 32. And they come to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, Sit ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly amazed and sore troubled. And he said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Abide ye here and watch. And he went forth a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass away from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Remove this cup from me. Howbeit not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and said unto Sam, Simon, Peter, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came, and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they knew not what to answer him. And he cometh a third time, and said unto them, Sleep on now, take your rest, it is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. Behold, he that betrayeth me is at hand. The golden text for the Sunday school lesson is Mark chapter 14 and verse 36. Not what I will, but what thou wilt. The devotional reading is the 22nd Psalm. Because our time is growing short, I'm going to leave the reading of the 22nd Psalm to our next class period. But let me go on and give you some geographical notes in the minute we have remaining. The Mount of Olives is one of the most interesting mountains of all Bible lands, and Gethsemane one of the most sacred spots. When King David fled from his son Absalom, he and his people passed over the brook Kidron and crossed the Mount of Olives barefoot, with his head covered and weeping, 2 Samuel 15. Jesus descended its western slope in his triumphant entry, and wept over Jerusalem, Luke 19, 41-44. And again, as he sat with 4 disciples on this western side, he told of the destruction of Jerusalem and of his second coming in Matthew chapter 24. Bethany was on this mountain, and from it Jesus ascended into heaven in Acts chapter 1, 9-21. No doubt this mountain was named for the olive trees which grew upon it. It was only a Sabbath day's journey, about 3/4 of a mile from Jerusalem. It was parallel with Mount Moriah, from which it was separated by the Kidron Valley.